Okay. Like I said, I'm still recovering from a bit of the cough, so if I do cough a bit, you'll just have to put up with it. What did you say, Josh? Oh, that's good. So you just read 1 John 2:3-17, so I won't read that again because that'll wear out my voice. But we'll read it as we go through. As you can see, I've got some overheads, because one of the feedbacks was the other day from some of the ladies was it'd be helpful to have some overheads to write down the actual things for those who write down things. Okay, it's a good passage, and I hope today that we can learn lots from it. So let's pray before we begin. Father, we pray the words we've just read will challenge us and help us to think about our walk with you, and help us to know that we can walk with assurance if we are authentic about our walk and belief in you. Lord, help us to do this, we pray. Help us to either have the assurance or the challenge whether we are truly following you. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, when I was a bit younger, and you're probably doing the same things today, but when I was a teenager, you used to go down to Murrumbit Market, and you'd go down there to buy like a cheap T-shirt or a jumper that was Nike or Reebok or whatever it was. It was, you know, one of the companies were just screen printing, doing their own branded sort of stuff. So instead of paying $80 or $100 for the Nike, you could go down there and get for about $20 a similar thing. And the good thing was you could roll up to school to your sports, and you look like you had the authentic gear on. What's everyone looking? Does everyone ever do that? Because that's what I was doing. I think one was Billabong. Billabong was in fashion at that time. So I had a Billabong jumper, you know, because Swanville people want to be surfy. And, you know, no one could really tell, you know. Well, sorry. The idea was that hopefully no one can tell, but the fact was you could actually tell the difference. There was a fakeness about them, a quality of how they sometimes were cut, their shape. You knew that even though it claimed to have Billabong or Nike on the logo, it looked like the real deal, but it was actually fake. So just like the Nike jumper or the Oakley sunglasses or whatever brand you can buy, you know, if you buy them from China, they actually just send you a bunch of stickers and you just put your own brand, what you want on it. You can give Dior or whatever. So unlike that kind of, just like those sort of things that rip people off, there's also a fake Christianity that people will buy into. And that was one of the issues that faced these believers that John wrote to. What does authentic Christianity look like? How do you know you're not wearing the fake deal? And so for them, was it the Gnostics version? Because that was a challenge to the church. They had the Gnostics, who was all about knowledge, having some sort of secret knowledge. You don't know what I know. We see sometimes that in Christian circles. Then it was it the Jewish version? You know, the laws and traditions. You're not like us. It could have been both these versions that the readers had came into contact with. And so they're having maybe some doubts about whether they were the real deal. So we have similar problems today. You know, what's authentic Christianity? I'm sure many churches would claim they are authentic. It's a trendy word. I actually Googled it and found that lots of churches, you know, have a slogan, you know, we're the authentic church. It's sort of like a cool, trendy thing. Even on our website, it contains the words that we are eager to authentically share the hope of Jesus in our local area. So we're pretty authentic here too, according to our website. Churches may claim all this authentic Christianity. They may even claim that if you go to their church, we have authentic worship, or we have authentic community or authentic fellowship. Whatever it is, we like the idea of being authentic. John wants all believers to walk of assurance in Jesus. And one way to do this is knowing the difference between fake and authentic followers of Jesus. So John's goal is for us to walk away knowing that we are an authentic believer, and to challenge us to what a fake believer looks like, just in case if we aren't the real deal. So there are three points that stand out to me as I was reading this passage. Hope that worked. That is brilliant. There are three points that stood out to me in this passage of 1 John 2:3-17. It gives us assurance that we are authentic followers of Jesus. Firstly, authentic believers walk with love and obedience to Jesus. Secondly, authentic believers walk in love towards other believers. And thirdly, authentic believers don't love the things God hates. Okay, so the first sign of the authentic believer is they walk with love and obedience in Jesus. I'm going to read verse 3 to you onwards. And by this, that won't come up on the slide, so you'll have to look at your Bible. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So how do we know? How do we have assurance that we know God and that we're walking in the light? Verse 3, we know him, that is Jesus. And verse 3 continues on, we keep his commandments. Now the word keep means to guard, it means to treasure up, delight in. So to know God and obey God is to love God. It's sort of all connected together. You can't sort of separate those sort of things. How do you know Jesus well? Well, the verse tells us. Well, it's through his commandments. It's through what John is teaching them and the other apostles. We hear his voice, Jesus' voice, through his word, verse 5, that's what it says, and we keep his word. Now, if we go back to the Old Testament, God's people heard God speak through Moses and the prophets. But something greater than that has come along, which is Jesus. Quick lubrication of the mouth with the water. Now, I don't believe that John is simply referring to the Old Testament commandments. If that were the case, many Jews who didn't believe in Jesus were keeping those. So clearly, the law keepers didn't love and know and obey Jesus. Clearly, they didn't believe in the truth of the Gospel of John. They said, no, that's a lie. But they were the ones that were liars. So John's entire letter is actually focused on Jesus. Whoever keeps his word, it's Jesus' word, verse 5. And it's interesting that as you go through John's Gospel, which is connected to this letter, if you look at the word commandment, John uses it in his Gospel account as in connected to what Jesus taught. So the original readers would have picked this up. They were familiar with John's Gospel, and hence the themes connect. Now, if you want to go and look up John's Gospel and look for all the Greek words and all that sort of stuff, do that later on. Don't do that now because you'll lose track. But John 14, 21, 23 is a good starting point. So you can look that up in your spare time. Now, this is not to downplay the Old Testament as something less than God's Word. All Scripture is inspired. So all Scripture comes from God, it originates from God. But however, all Scripture also points us to Jesus. Through Jesus, all Scripture finds its meaning and fulfillment. So, obedience to the commands are connected to Jesus. So if we abide in Jesus, we walk as Jesus walked. Jesus' command was to follow him. Jesus' command was to hear his words and obey him. Jesus' command was to love as I have loved you. All these are found in John's Gospel. So to have an authentic Christianity, it's not so much about how cool our church is or how cool you dress, make it really casual and funky, or what our music style is like, or how we do life together. They may be really good things, but authentic Christianity is knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, and obeying Jesus. Okay, it's a life that not only believes what Jesus says, it actually treasures his words and actually puts them into action. So I want you to pause just for a minute and ask yourself the question, is that me? At this point, are you the authentic follower of Jesus? You see, you can have lots of things you know about Jesus, you know lots of stuff about his word, but do you treasure up his word and do you obey his word? That's the key. Let's read further in verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. So as we read this passage, it can be a bit confusing. But the goal of God's love is we walk in obedience in Jesus, becoming like Jesus. So as we walk in this, we have assurance that we are saved. That's not to say that we'll be perfect on earth. Last week we saw how we lie if we say we live without sin. So as we walk and obey God, God's love is reaching its goal. Hence why John follows in verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So abiding is remaining in Jesus. It's remaining in him. You know, a few weeks back, we looked at John 15, 4 to 5. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. So we need to remain in Jesus to be like Jesus. Now, one thing to note, we don't obey so we become an authentic believer. Obedience doesn't qualify us as a child of God. God's grace does. The cross qualifies us. But rather, our obedience reveals that we're a child of God. We obey because we have eternal life and we are an authentic believer. So if we are the authentic, real deal follower of Jesus, it will show in what we do with Jesus' word. As we remain in his word, we don't swerve off course. Okay. So I wonder how that's looking for you in your life right now. I wonder where Jesus and his word and how you relate to Jesus in that. Okay, our second point is the authentic believer. Come up, nope, too far, that one. The authentic believer walks in love towards other believers. So if we think back a few weeks ago, we saw how real Christian fellowship is sharing in Jesus together. It's a partnership around Jesus. It's not simply just having a meal or a coffee. So let's read verses 7 to 8 in 1 John chapter 2. Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So John tells us that what he is writing about is an old commandment that they have heard before, but at the same time it's something new. Now, what does this mean? Well, there's lots of different interpretations of this. But the command, as we see, to in loving one another, we read it out in our gathering this morning, was John 13, 34. So let's sort of think about that. This commandment to love one another, the original recipients of this, 1 John, heard through John's gospel. So this was a new commandment that Jesus gave his disciples. And although we can see definitely love thy neighbour found in the Bible right throughout the Old Testament, when Jesus spoke it, it was new. Because that's exactly how Jesus described it. It was new. Yet as John writes it to them, it's old. It's a commandment the readers already heard at the beginning when they received the gospel. So they received this command already in Jesus in John 13, 34. They would have read this maybe 30 years beforehand as they become Christians. So it's old and yet new and still relevant to the authentic life in Jesus. So like I said, there's a few different viewpoints on this, but this to me made the most sense, and that's how I read it. Taking into consideration of John's gospel and John's letter. John's gospel and the letter continually call us to love one another, because this is Jesus' command to us. Jesus brings us a new reality of love, clearly, when he died on the cross, sacrificial love. Jesus takes it to a new level. Verse 8, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So the same love and light that's in Jesus is in that work in us. So just as Jesus loves us, that love shines out of us to others, particularly those in our church gathering and those our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what does that look like? Well, let's look at verses 9 to 11. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness. And he does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. So John makes our life in Christ very simple. Know Jesus, obey Jesus, and love others, particularly our brothers in Christ. John is concerned about how we love those who are also in Jesus with us. They're the same people that Jesus loved and died on the cross for. So if we're walking in the light as children of light, we can't hate God's family, the very people, the church. who Jesus died for. And so now we get into more of that love in chapter 3, so we've got to be careful with John. He's a funny writer, so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves or we're repeating ourselves. But for now, the authentic way to have assurance that you belong to Jesus, that you're walking in the light, is loving those in God's family. So you need to be part of God's family so you can love God's people. Pretty simple, isn't it? Yet often overlooked by many people. A lot of people say, oh, we love Jesus but hate the church. Yeah, it doesn't sort of work. It's not what John's talking about. Now, there's this, as we walk in love and as we walk in the light, there is no cause for stumbling, which it talks about in verse 10. Now, this could mean causing us to stumble, or causing others to stumble, or ourselves. Most likely it is, as we walk in love, our life prevents us from stumbling into sin. And one of those sins is hating our brothers, and therefore falling away from fellowship from the church. If we hate our brothers and sisters in Jesus, we still remain in darkness, and we still walk in darkness. And as verse 11 says, we have no idea where we are going because we are blind. And many people will do that, won't they? They just seem to be blind and they can't see the gospel in their life, that all they're seeing is other people's faults. There is no light of Jesus because we don't have Jesus in us at work with his word. So you can't say you follow Jesus if you live in such a way that hates the very people Jesus died for. It just doesn't work. It goes back to John 13:34. This is the why we are to love like Jesus loves. Because we already know Jesus and his love for us. Why do we love? Verse 12, it's because Jesus has forgiven us our sins. And so we walk with full assurance that our sins are forgiven, and we walk in love with our brothers and sisters because of Jesus' work. Let's look at verses 13 to 14. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. I think when John is encouraging two particular groups here to remain strong in Jesus. Now, others think there's three groups of people, but the challenge in this is whether children is all believers or just children. And so as you read John's letter, he often talks about Christians being children, little children. Even Jesus said that in his John 13. So most likely I think the older ones are the ones who have known Jesus longer. There's other opinions too. Some people think it's the mature, the warriors and all this sort of stuff. They get all a bit carried away. But I just think it's pretty simple. It's the older people who've known Jesus longer, and it's the younger men, maybe the next generation, that are believers who haven't known Jesus longer. Like I said, there's much debate, but I think the key is that John wants them to walk of assurance. Most likely the older fathers have known Jesus longer in their faith, so keep walking with assurance that you're in Jesus. For the younger who haven't known Jesus for very long, John wants them to know that you've already overcome the evil one. So keep walking in assurance of that. Know that you're in fellowship with Jesus. So John wants all believers, all of us here today who claim Christ, to have confidence, to have assurance, wherever we are in our walk. It's not about how long we've been in Christ, it's about Christ himself. So we want to walk of assurance, and John encourages us to do that. Regardless of whether you've known Jesus for a long time or a short time, the key is Jesus. Authentic followers of Jesus obey Jesus, and love one another in the church. Which brings us to our third point, final point, very short point. Do not love the world or the things in the world. This is verse 15 to 17. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So the authentic follower of Jesus doesn't love the world or the things in it. Now it's interesting because John says in his gospel, John 3:16, it says that God loves the world. And then in John 1, we are commanded not to love the world. You can see how people sometimes think the Bible contradicts. But John 3:16 is about God who loves all people, even though there are sinners. Even though we sin, God loved all people. So in love, God sent Jesus to die for all people. For all nations, not just Israel, but all people, because all people are sinners, as Romans tells us. So it's even hard to believe when we think about this, that a God who is light and pure and holy would come and die for us and love us like that, but he does. But when we come to John 1, the world is better understood as the things of the world, and particularly those things that oppose God. This could be the thinking and ideas of our culture that live in darkness. So we can see these things because John actually tells us what they are. He gives us a bit of an illustration in verses 16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father but is from the world. So God hates the kind of love that comes out of our human selfish desires. The love of the flesh and its passions that go against obeying God. The love with the desires of the eye. What's in it for me? Oh, that looks good. The love with our pride. It's all about me. All about me. Life's all about me. We've fed that in our culture. And we love the things of the world over God, Jesus, and God's family. And it's insulting because what we love is the very opposite to who God is. And they're the very things that Jesus died for. Why shouldn't we love the world? Well, they go against God's light. Like I said, they're the very things that Jesus died for. Clearly, the world also doesn't love and fulfill us like God does. Have you ever thought that the world never loves you back? God's love is eternal, and yet our world's love is just temporal. The world's love is the darkness passing away. It's coming to an end. But God's love and light is eternal. It goes past the grave. The world ends at the grave. God's love continues. So don't love the world. Don't chase it. Don't live for it. Don't live for the selfish desires. You know, there's things, like I said, that are good. There's things that are good in our world that we can enjoy, but don't love them. Don't love them over God. So as we hear the words of 1 John 2, 3 to 17, I think we need to respond. We need to respond by what Jesus is saying to us today. Are you the authentic Christian? Are you the authentic follower of Jesus? Do you have assurance of this? Or like the Nike jumper at Murrabit, is your version of Christianity one that's a bit fake, trying to fool others, trying to just have a rip-off Christianity? Does your life know the authentic Jesus through the truth of Jesus? See, that was one of the problems here. That all the other teachers were saying, no, John's got it wrong. But John, we've already looked at that. John's got it right, he says it right at the beginning of John. I knew Jesus. So does your life go with the authentic word of God and you love and obey Jesus? Taking his word seriously, treasuring it up, putting it into action, is that you? Is that you? Maybe you say, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. But you don't care what Jesus says. You have no interest in obeying Jesus and his commands. John calls you a liar. God's truth is not in you, and so as we heard, you walk in darkness. And surely you don't want to walk that way. Surely you don't want to respond right now. Surely you want to respond the right way right now to Jesus in obedience and faith. As Joash said today, and as we mentioned earlier, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. Why do we go to God's word? Why do we go to God's word as we walk in assurance? Well, I actually thought about this, and I thought about a journey on a boat. And if you want to travel somewhere in the right direction on a boat, there's one thing you need is going to help you, and that's a compass. So just think about going on a boat. If one wave or one gust of wind hits you, you can easily be taken off course. Easily taken off course. Think about our culture, our world. There's so many gusts of winds going around that could just take us off course. How would you keep on track. When you're in a boat, you go to the compass. You keep on going back to the compass. You check the compass to adjust the boat's direction. How often would you check the compass if you're on a boat? You check it every couple of days? No, you wouldn't, would you? If you check it a couple of days, you could be 100 k's from the destination you want to get to. It only takes 1 degree out to get you nowhere where you're going to go. Maybe you check it every day. Even that. It's getting a bit better. Maybe hourly. Well, if you're probably on a boat, you'd probably check it hourly. I'm not saying you have to read your Bible every day, every hour. But what I'm saying is the principle's there. The more you look at the compass, the more you stay on course. As we continually go to God's word, we are checking the compass. We are keeping our lives walking in the light and giving ourselves assurance that we're in Christ. His word is like a compass. As we continually go to it, we're given assurance we are in Jesus. The lesser we go to his word, the easier we drift off course. The easier we find ourselves not walking in assurance in Jesus. So I want you to think about that illustration and think about your life and think about where your life spends a lot of time. I wonder if your life is knowing Jesus through his word and in that checking often the compass, not in order to be saved, but to walk in assurance that you are saved, that you're steering right, you're adjusting where you're going. I wonder how much time you spend in that over spending time loving the world. How much time you spend on the internet all about me. Or many other things that take our attractions in life. Sometimes we get more excited about things like the latest Avengers movie than God's word. And in that, we wonder why we don't walk with assurance. I wonder how much time this week was all about loving the world versus loving God and his word. Or loving the world over loving God's family. I wonder how much time and money you spend loving the world and loving self. Like I said, there's certain things that are good in our world that we're entitled to enjoy. And I know it's hard work to read your Bible some days. I'm not saying you have to go and check it every half an hour to make sure you're on course. But I wonder how often you do check it. I wonder how often you are in the Word, using the compass. Because you see, what we love will determine how we live. And it starts with who do you really love. That's what John's saying. We love God, and we don't love the world. When much time and money is spent you giving to loving the world over the church or loving one another? You know, as I study to preach, I do this so you can know Jesus. I do this out of love so you can know Jesus and obey Jesus. You know, we've got people running Seedlings. Why? Because they love people, love Jesus, and they want to see people grow. Want to see the kids grow. We have people running Bible studies. Why? Because they love God's word and they want to see people grow and they love God's people. We've got the days opening up their house for a big day out. Why? Because they love God's people and they love to be around them. Out of love, people are serving each other in this church by setting up. Why? So you can hear today's message and hear what Jesus has got to say. Now you think about all those things that are going on in the church. People give financially. Why? Because they love the church. They want to see it have a future. But think about all the different things and many more things I probably missed here. All those could be traded for the love of the world. All that for time for the world. Could be put aside for many things that the self offers. And out of love, we do all those things. Out of love. All these things could be easily not happen if people said, no, actually, I'm going to love the world rather than love Jesus, his word, and his people. And I only did things for what's in it for me. That's how we live in our world, not in our church. The authentic believer has the love of God stirring them up sacrificially to love others and to love his word and to put love into action. I wonder if that's your life today as we hear Jesus speak. Because we ought to be excited about Jesus. We ought to be excited about his word. I know I'm not overexcited today because I've got a sore throat, but We need to be excited about loving his people rather than just simply loving them. It's an easy option. Anyone can love the world. That's easy. Try loving people at church. That's a challenge. But we have the love of God stirring us up. And this is how we know if we walk as authentic believers or fake believers. We love his word. We obey his word. We love his people. We love his church, and we don't love the world. This is how we walk with assurance, knowing that we belong to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for words to stir us, challenge us, and encourage us all at the same time. Thank you, Lord, your love is what blows our mind away. As we focus on that, we see you, our Saviour, who'd be willing to die for us, to take on our sins. Lord, as we see this, Lord, how can we not love those who you die for? Lord, as we hear this, how can we not love your word that brings life and light to our lives? How can we not be referring to it each day as the compass of our life, not to earn our salvation, but Lord, so we can walk in assurance that we are saved. So we don't get pushed around by all the winds and gusts of our culture and our world, but Lord, we can stay focused and move slight directions as we follow you. Lord, help us to do this, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your spirit in us that enables us to do this. So Lord, help us all to be authentic followers of you this day. Help us to really hear you speak to our hearts. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, feel free to have a cup of coffee. Encourage each other.